Welcome to Hearts to Believe. So good to have you join with us. Today, Jim Barber will be continuing in his series from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 20 to 22, with a message entitled, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Heavenly Father, bless your word, we pray, and strengthen us through it. Receive praise, honor, and all the glory we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, and I begin reading with verse 20 to 22. Hebrews 11, 20 to 22. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. We continue in our study of Hebrews chapter 11, and some individuals, such as Abraham or Moses, they are dealt with at a certain length. However, there are certain other individuals taken from the pages of the Old Testament which are touched on ever so briefly. We are perhaps a little surprised that such gigantic individuals as Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, three generations which succeeded after Abraham, that they are touched upon so lightly. But just a touch upon these three names, and there are so many memories that come jumping. They leap forward into our thoughts as we consider how that God continued to lead these people and their families forward to the blessing. These individuals, they had to walk by faith. And it was through that faith that they received God's approval, that they were declared as those who had received the smile of God, because without faith it is impossible to please Him. And they knew what it was to receive the reward of God. I would especially wish to focus in these three who we could take individually and say that each of them deserve at least a sermon in this series, but I'm clustering them together for this reason. And the question and the answer that I want to give, first of all, the question, what do you do when a promise is made and you hope for that? That is what you most earnestly desire. But yet, time goes by, days, weeks, months, years, decades, even generations pass, and yet there is not that laying hold of the promise that was given. We find ourselves in that very position. We find ourselves after not just generations, but centuries and 2 millennia, we have received the promise that Jesus Christ would return. Of course, there are mockers who come with their mocking and saying, "So, you have been looking for the coming of Jesus Christ for nearly 2,000 years. Where is the fulfillment of the promise which was made so long ago?" Jesus himself said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again, that where I am, there you might be also." Is it not time for us to set that aside? Well, here in these three generations, the generation of Isaac, the generation of Jacob, the generation of Joseph, What do you do when the promise that has been made simply doesn't happen? I hold out to you that what we ought to do, what these individuals did, the example that they have left for us and which pleased God, was that they hunkered down and they said, if God said it, we are not working upon man's timetable. We are going to continue to lean hard and lean ever harder into the heart of God than we have ever done so before. We are going to take God as being true, though every man be proven a liar. When Dad, that was Isaac's view of Abraham, his father, and when Grandpa, Jacob, he was the grandson of Abraham, the man who had received the promises, and Joseph's generation, they're looking back to Abraham as their great-grandfather. They heard of God's promise. They heard of what he was intending to do, but yet it seemed that things went all in the wrong direction. Yet they held on to God. They held on to God. Let me take you now back into Genesis and remind you that as we studied the previous time we were together, how that Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. For the elaborate detail of that, we have to go back to Genesis chapter 22, as we did. Now we are moving forward. Genesis chapter 24 is the birth of Isaac. And Isaac is very much overshadowed, first of all, by his father, and then by his sons, Jacob and Esau. It's surprising that though Isaac lives large in our thoughts, yet he is very much overshadowed by these others. However, in Genesis chapter 25 and verse 21, we read, Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. And the Lord answered him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. As you continue on down, verse 26, it says that Isaac was 60 years old when his wife, Rebekah, gave birth to Jacob and to Esau, those twins who had wrestled inside of Rebekah's womb. Well, Isaac, he was a man who walked by faith. When there was a difficulty, he called upon the Lord and he sought God's answer for the need. He was trusting in what God had to provide. Well, we read here back in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things that were to come. And so we have it that Isaac, he knew that God was continuing to lead them forward, and he blesses his sons, most especially Jacob, knowing that even though Jacob had come and first of all stolen away his brother's birthright, and then also the blessing, yet Isaac, he leaves that in God's hand, knowing that God was going to accomplish his purposes. We move forward, and Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21 now focuses upon Jacob. It doesn't speak so much of the journeys or the sojourning of Jacob through his life, but we fast forward to his dying days. And we consider how that Jacob is focusing most especially upon the future. All of these men who are walking by faith, not only through the days of their lives, but at the end of their life, they come and they are at that point of passing. They are at that point of death. There is nothing more that can be done in this world. But yet they have a forward look. There is that advance look that they most definitely have. Jacob, he comes down into Egypt because of the famine that is so severe. And Jacob, he blesses the sons of Joseph. Joseph, he is expecting that Manasseh would be the one who is placed at his father's right hand. But Israel stretches out his hands, crossing them over. He lays his right hand upon Ephraim's head, who was in fact the younger. His left hand he places on Manasseh's head, even though Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blesses these sons of Joseph, who he has adopted into that higher generation and receiving a place of preference. He says, "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked," how that they walked in faith is his thought. "The God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and may my name live on in them, and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and may they grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." Hebrews 11, verse 21 says, "As Jacob was dying, he blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff." Now, Joseph is one of my very favorite Bible characters. How that he had dreams as a young man, as a teenager, of what God was about to accomplish. He was sorely despised. I thrill in the life of Joseph because of how that Joseph is such a type of Jesus. Loved of his father, hated by his brethren, sold into slavery for silver, falsely accused, scorned, mistreated, but yet elevated so highly to the very right hand of power. And when he was able to absolutely destroy his brethren, when he had every opportunity and every right, we might say, he extends forgiveness and he extends grace. By faith, Joseph, we think through his life of how that he lived by faith. Think of Joseph when he is taken down into Egypt by those traitors, and he is sold into the house of Potiphar. He was a long way from home, far from home. How would anyone know back home how he lived his life? But he continued to trust that God was watching over him. And though he could have shirked his duties, could have grumped and said, "Look, I'm not going to serve this fellow. I'm not going to do anything for these people who have enslaved and who have bound me." But he served Potiphar, and Potiphar realized that here was an exceptional young man, Potiphar's wife. Joseph, he could have played loose and free. He could have enjoyed some of the pleasures of this world. But he says to her, "How could I do such a thing?" Joseph was going to have none of the illicit relationship that was offered to him. As a result, he is once again taken and thrown into jail. But even there, instead of being morose, instead of feeling that woe is me and how hard done by I am, he once again serves. And the jailer realizes that here is a trustworthy individual. And he places the charge of the other prisoners into Joseph's care. Joseph, that chief baker and the chief cupbearer, they come under Joseph's care. And once again, Joseph, he does not become surly in any way, but he responds and he speaks to them about the interpretation of each of their dreams. And so it was that the cupbearer places the cup back into Pharaoh's hand. But what a painful thing it must have been for the days and the weeks and even the months to pass by and for Joseph to realize that he had been forgotten. But Joseph knew that though this world might forget about him, yet God did not. God had never forgotten about Joseph. And though Joseph might have become a little bit cynical of the things in this world, he continued to be a man of tremendous character because he was walking not by sight, but rather by faith. By faith. And so it was that on that day, when Pharaoh awoke, having had those dreams that no one could explain to him, all of a sudden, when the cupbearer comes before Pharaoh and he says, I know there is a Hebrew who is able to explain what no one else can explain. He's there in the prison house, and Pharaoh orders ever so quickly for Joseph to be brought. First, they need to clean him up. But they bring him, and he speaks to Pharaoh. And that day, Joseph goes from being a prisoner to being the second in all of Pharaoh's vast kingdom. What a day that was. But Joseph also, as he walks by faith through those 7 years of plenty, and then starting into those 7 years of desperate famine and destitute, as the land becomes, Joseph sees his brothers come to him. And here, most especially, the faith of the man is held out. Joseph, he could have destroyed those brothers of his who had been so mean-spirited. But he extends grace to them. Yes, he tests them. He wants to see if they are exactly the same as they had been previously. He tests them to see whether the same thing had been done to his brother Benjamin as had happened to him. And Dad, had they done away with Jacob in some opportune moment that they might do whatever they wanted to do? Joseph learns that his dad is still alive. He learns that his brother Benjamin is well. And when Joseph could have brought down every vestige of authority and of judgment upon the men, he realizes that there's been something that has changed when Judah comes before him and pleads and says, "Please take me as your prisoner. Let Benjamin go." Joseph couldn't restrain himself any longer, and he sends out all of the servants that were round about him. And he weeps in front of his brethren. And he says, "I am Joseph. Is my father really still alive?" They were absolutely uncertain of what would be the right response to such a powerful man. But Joseph, he speaks tenderly to them and he says, "Do not fear. God has worked this. God has provided this. God has been the one to orchestrate all of that what has taken place. I will provide for you." And even when Jacob dies, Joseph again, when Dad was off the scene and Joseph could have then had his vengeance, he speaks kindly to them. And Joseph, at the very end of Genesis chapter, the whole book of Genesis, but at the end of Genesis chapter 50, we read, "Now Joseph stayed in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw the third generation of Ephraim's sons, also the sons of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were born on Joseph's knees. Joseph said to his brothers, 'I am about to die, but God will surely take care of you and will bring you up from this land to the land which he promised on oath to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob.' Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, 'God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones up from here.' So Joseph died at the age of 110 years, and he was embalmed and placed in a coffin in Egypt, not in a pyramid, not in the most elaborate grave that was rightly due to someone of his standing. His body was placed in a coffin there in Egypt to await for a future time when the children of Israel would go to what God had for them." Joseph didn't just live in faith, he died in faith. See here what I just read to you. Joseph, twice he says to his brothers, "God will surely, God will certainly, there is no doubt in my mind that God is going to accomplish what God has declared he would do." Joseph, he is speaking, as is written in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22, when dying, made mention of the Exodus. What's an Exodus? Well, that's when a group of people emerges out of another nation. An exodus of the sons of Israel. And Joseph gave orders concerning his bones. Joseph, he knew that he was about to take his last breath, but he was utterly certain that there was going to be a time when his descendants would emerge out of Egypt. Egypt was not their home. They were foreigners. They were aliens. They were strangers. It was a temporary means of God's provision for the people, but it was not home. It was not home. Joseph and his brethren, and here it talks about succeeding generations that Joseph saw before his death, but he knew that God's promises, you see, these people, they hadn't forgotten what God had said. They were holding it to themselves. They believed that however the way that God was leading them, that God was yet working out His purpose and His plan, and that though the promise might linger, though it might seem to be delayed according to the timetable of our wishes, according to the timetable of how time passes here below, yet God is not slow concerning His promise, as some consider slowness, but He is faithful. He is faithful. God, Joseph said, will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones up. Where? To the land which God had promised on oath. There was a solemn oath made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, that this is exactly what God was going to do. And they praised God, they honored God, by simply holding fast to that. And God, He looked down upon these key leaders of three generations that followed right after Abraham, and they gained approval. Is that what you desire? Do you desire, the approval of this world, or do you desire the approval that comes only from God? I trust that you, in a right and balanced way, understand that the approval of God outstrips the approval of this world. The approval and the applause, the commendation of this world is so fleeting. It lasts for such a short time. But it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that our God is a rewarder of those who seek Him. The reward of this world is a little bit of hand clapping and a pat on the back. But the rewards that come from God are everlasting. They are not temporary. They are not subject to rust. They are not subject to inflationary effects. But they are blessings that are incomprehensible from this world. Lord, I pray that every man and woman who hears my voice, that they would consider the rewards that you have to offer and how that they absolutely surpass anything of this world. So, Lord, may we come and seek your approval. First, foremost, and always, these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you again for joining us for Hearts to Believe. Let me remind you of our current free offer. It is a book project entitled The Sermons in the Sermon, and it has the bonus of audio CDs with it. This series of messages from the book of Acts especially focuses upon the preaching of Peter, Stephen, Philip, and Paul. These messages, long or short, were the focus and have been taken to include in 21 brief messages in this book. The CDs contain scripture readings from the King James Version taken from the book of Acts. You will enjoy and be blessed by this presentation. You may ask for it. It will be sent free and postage paid when you write to Hearts to Believe, Box 426, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3C 2H6. Or you may call us at 1-833-367-3852. Hearts to